This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It's 7:37 a.m. Monday, the 15th of June. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where Koo Soo Chuang speaks with Ruben Emeriganalingam, Managing Director of Westports Holdings.
Now, we know the shipping industry was one of the worst hit sectors when global trade took a blow from the coronavirus because everything was shut. I mean, global supply chains were clearly affected. But Koo Soo Chuang is going to ask Ruben Emeriganalingam, the Managing Director of Westports, who is actually Malaysia's leading mega transshipment hub in Malaysia, to tell us how the company is managing, whether they're recovering from the impact of COVID-19 amid a slowdown of the world economy. I think that's going to be an interesting conversation. So maybe give us a glimpse of whether, you know, trade is recovering, which is so important, right?
Absolutely. So be sure to tune in later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin for the Breakfast Grill. Now, we're also running a poll on the Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, do you expect to see more acquittals of politicians facing corruption charges? 126 votes so far, 78% have said yes. Do continue to let us know what you think. But in the meantime, right now, we've been examining the impact of COVID-19 on various industries and economies since the pandemic hit. Now we're looking at wealth management, because according to a report by consulting firm McKinsey & Company, investor wealth in Asian equity markets declined by approximately 10 to 15%, which equates to roughly $2.5 to $3.5 trillion US dollars.
Well, I think maybe that number has probably improved, because we do know that equity markets around the world have somewhat recovered. I mean, still in the negative on the year-to-date basis, but from the lows we saw in March, definitely an improvement. But nonetheless, volatility in the market is also expected to influence investor behavior. And as a result of this pandemic, regulators may require wealth managers to also set aside capital for similar future scenarios bearing implications from the firm's fiduciary obligations. So they're starting to behave like exactly like banks, I guess.
So for more on this McKinsey report and the outlook for the wealth management space, we speak to Gabriela Vigo, a senior partner at McKinsey & Company. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Gabriela. Now, investor wealth in Asian equity markets declined between 10 to 15% in the first quarter of this year due to the pandemic. Was this loss even throughout the region, or were some markets hit harder than others?
So we register still a very high volatility of the stock markets. As you might have seen last Thursday, global markets dropped significantly. This is driven mainly by margin calls of investors who are a bit scared of the situation. And so this triggered losses for investors. This trend is pretty even across the globe. We observed, however, the speed of recovery was different in different countries like China, Japan, and India. We're recovering fast recently. The stock markets were growing mainly through a positive inflows of active managed funds. Right? If you look at Asia level, excluding China, in fact, we saw positive flows for alternative funds and negative outflows for fixed income, which means that probably the high risk profile clients are getting progressively back in the market also to speculate a bit.
And how has the pandemic changed the immediate landscape of wealth management in Asia then?
Well, it has changed significantly. There is a lot of skepticism about the business, about wealth management in general, which has led to a shift of liquidity to cash deposits. People have withdrawn their funds and put them in term deposit or even in CASA, current account and saving accounts. We see still a big opportunity to unlock value, right? The point is that wealth managers have to intervene immediately, providing solutions that are a bit more aligned to customer needs, right? So both equity or multi-assets or even alternative investments, but they don't have to be the product of the month as they used to be, but rather solutions that are tailored to the needs of customers, right? We still see a strong growth in the long term. There is clear demand for financial planning, in particular from affluent and emerging affluent clients that are the segments that are growing the most in Malaysia, in Thailand, and across the region. And we also see a big shift from transaction-based fees to advisory fees that will change the way wealth management is done.
So what kind of trends in wealth management do you see gaining foothold or accelerating even as economies emerge from their respective COVID-19 lockdowns?
Yes, indeed. So the crisis will trigger significant demand for high quality advisory. So we see four main trends. So number one is a transition to a customer-centric approach. This requires a significant step change of the quality of advisory of relationship managers that will have to offer solutions and not products anymore. The second trend is the digitization of solutions. So customers need digital wealth management solutions to compare their current asset allocation versus a target one, to monitor the performance of their funds, receive basic recommendations of products and other solutions, receive alerts, even to buy basic products. The third trend will be about M&A. We see two elements here. One is around the production of funds. Asset management is and will remain a business of scale. Therefore, there will be a consolidation of players, of factories, of production of funds. The second one is about fintechs. Fintechs are producing very good solutions for wealth management, and I mean robo advisory, but also other solutions for customers. They don't have visibility. So a synergy or even an acquisition of fintechs by wealth manager can be a solution. Last one is a bit more technical, but we see a strong trend in rebalancing the assets from offshore to onshore, right? This is triggered by new regulation and by COVID, and it will have significant implication for players based out of Singapore and Hong Kong.
So what are the downside risks for the wealth management industry in the short to medium term, as well as the longer horizon if we look beyond COVID-19?
We see a number of risks. In the short term, the main risk that we see is the lack of trust of investors. You know, if you're losing money in a fund, you move your money to liquidity and you tend not to buy a fund anymore. There is panic, and wealth managers, together with regulators, should work immediately to reduce this panic of investors, to reduce the outflows. The second risk in the short term is the lack of quality of advice of relationship managers or independent financial advisors. There needs to be an immediate step change of capabilities and of quality of advice. The third risk is more related to the performance, the economic performance of these companies. So losses might reduce the investments in digital and technology, which would be a big mistake for the medium to long term. In the medium long term itself, we are a bit positive on the outlook of wealth management because clients need these products. They need this advisory. They need the solution. And of course, wealth management players have to significantly step up their capabilities and their solutions. If they do that, they will unlock a lot of value.
So what's your best guess recovery projection then for the region?
This is a $1 million question. As a McKinsey, we basically have developed 9 different macroeconomic scenarios along 2 axes. One axis is the virus spread and the public health response. And the second axis is the effectiveness of the economic policy response. And then we have done a survey with more than 2,000 executives at global level, right? But if you focus on the Asian executives, 34% of the executive think that there's intermediate scenario that is called muted recovery. That is a scenario with an effective response, but regional resurgence of the virus and partially effective interventions is the most likely. So 1/3 of the executives think that this muted recovery is the most likely scenario. It means that more or less the GDP level pre-crisis of countries like Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia will be reached not earlier than end of 2022.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Gabriella. And that was Gabriella Vigo of McKinsey and Company with a not particularly optimistic projection there right at the end, which is that we'll only get back to our pre-crisis GDP levels by the end of 2022 in a year and a half's time.
Yeah, and also that the wealth management industry has to also adapt to this new normal, not just... But I think they already are because we see signs of that. For example, like Goldman Sachs, Credit Suisse, they have actually reaching out to their Of course, these are the ultra high end wealth management clients via things that we are doing, Zoom, for example, because, you know, previously used to wine and dine them, take them to a, you know, F1, for example, but all that's been cancelled and you can't take them out for dinner anymore. So how do you reach out to them? And so things have changed. So apparently it's become less formal because you get these video conferencing calls for, you know, so they're not, okay, aside from the fact that they're super rich, they're not so different from us, actually.
But it's not just the affluent where the opportunities are, right? Because Gabriella also pointed out that there are opportunities for wealth management in the emerging affluent segments as well. So perhaps some light at the end of the tunnel for the wealth management sector. But right now we have some messages coming up for you. And then we're speaking with Dr. Kulanthayan Kesimani of UPM on the recent uptick in road accidents. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.